It's just like dark Tony Stark.
Dark like, Tony Stark. Tony Dark.
Tony Dark. Todd. Donnie Darko. Tony Darko. We could do this for...
too long. An uncomfortable long. Amount of time.
Yeah.
You're listening to We Die First, a podcast for black horror fans by black horror fans.
Spooky Squad.
Spooky Squad.
I love when you come in singing.
It's a good day. I'm exhausted.
Oh yeah, what have you been up to?
I had, well, it technically ended up being three, but I had a 4-show day scheduled yesterday. It was.
Oh wow.
And I knew of three of them, but then like Friday, I got like an email being like, hey, we might need you to go in for like, you know, Second City. I'm like, okay, which was really nice because that prompted me to learn this show I should have been learning for the last month. But it went well. So then I had that Second City show, and then I had two Baby Wants Candy shows, and then I had this Riff show. But then Riff was a 10 p.m. show on St. Patrick's Saturday, so it was not terribly well sold, so we just called it. But okay. But that was just a lot of shows, and I was a sleepy boy.
Yeah, I can only imagine. That's crazy, but we love to hear that you're booked and busy. Yes. Spooky Squad, if you're in the Chicago area, make sure that you're following Andrew on his social so you can see when he's performing and check him out. He's so funny.
And Spooky Squad, if you're in New York, go follow Sanique. Check her out. She's out and about. She's doing comedy again. She never stopped.
The girl is out. No, I think it's fixed. I kind of took a bit of a break. So like, yeah, I'm back. You know,
I feel we haven't done this, I feel, in forever. Sanique, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, we haven't. You can find me at Sanique, that's Seynique on Twitter. Yes, I'm a very lucky person who gets to use their actual first name as their handle. Unfortunately, I can't do that on Instagram. I've tried, but they won't let me. But I'm Say_Smythe on Instagram. That's Sey_Smythe. And I'm going to tell you my TikTok because I'm trying to get back into that. I mean, so long as we can before they
ban it. Yeah.
They ban it.
Yeah, get but back on it while you can.
Yeah, I'm at Almighty Smyther on TikTok. That's Almighty_Smyther on TikTok.
Heck yeah. Oh, man. So good.
How about you, Andrew?
I truly think I'm Andrew_on_drums on everything. I want to say that is the case. That is the case on everything except for TikTok, where I am Andrew_Baldwin. I'm not terribly active on it, but those are my things. Follow the Andrew_on_drums for all my shenanigans.
Nice.
And also follow We Die First.
Yes, follow We Die First. We typically post what we're going to watch on our Instagram, so you can, you know, follow along with us, watch ahead, and that's pretty awesome. Speaking of which,
yeah,
we watched a new movie this week.
Oh, did we? Wouldn't that be crazy if we didn't?
Right, we're just gonna rewatch Scream. Rewatch Scream again. We're gonna talk about it again. Hope you're okay. As part of March Madness, we're continuing on with The Invisible Man from 2020.
Because of the premise of it, I knew this was not the case, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is just a remake of Hollow Man.
I don't know if I've seen that.
I have a long time ago. I mean, distinctly different premises.
Well, okay.
Hollow Man follows, because Kevin Bacon is the titular Hollow Man, but like he becomes invisible and it's following him going crazy because it's not a suit he can take off. Like he himself is invisible.
Right. And it's based off of the H.G. Wells, The Invisible Man book. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. It's also, I'm looking it up right now. It's directed by Paul Verhoeven, who, if you don't know, also did Basic Instinct.
No.
And also Showgirls. Iconique.
But we're not here to talk about a Hollow Man.
No, we're here to talk about The Invisible Man, okay? Easy to mistake. It is a science fiction horror movie directed by Lee Whannell. And it is based off of The Invisible Man book and technically is the eighth installment of the franchise. It's stars Elizabeth Moss doing her best woman on the brink performance. You know, she's so good at. I mean, like, she really, like, she bodied this performance. Elizabeth Moss, Aldous Hodge, fine. Storm Reid, and Oliver Jackson Cohen. It's about a woman who escapes from an abusive relationship from her, like, tech billionaire boyfriend who then begins to stalk her while wearing this invisibility suit and making her think that she's crazy.
Truly, that's what happens.
I thought it was so good.
Yeah, I know. This is nice.
It was fucking good. It came out a while ago. I remember people talking a lot about it, and I just never got around to it. And I'm so glad we got to watch it because I was truly like, I watched it this morning in bed on my laptop. And Evan
As is
was
the tradition.
Yes, because last night was my nephew's birthday. So we're at my mom's house. So everyone's like still sleeping. So I was like, I'll just watch it on my computer so I don't disturb anybody. So I was watching it on my computer, my headphones on in bed, and Evan's sleeping next to me. And I'm doing everything in my power not to talk at the screen. I'm so like, oh my God.
I know. It's a good talk at the screen movie too.
It's so fucking good. I loved it. I think it's important to note that this originally was supposed to kind of be a part of like that dark universe thing that they tried to do that failed. If you don't know,
I do not
they
know.
Tried to build. Yeah. So they originally planned to kind of build out this Universal Pictures cinematic universe based off of the Universal Monsters. It's why we got that Mummy reboot with Tom Cruise. That was really bad.
Okay.
Yeah. And because that failed, they scrapped the dark universe thing. But that was supposed to like kind of revive the Universal Monsters and kind of doing these like new updated reboots and like. You know, I have my bones to pick about Hollywood's current obsession with just, like, making movies about existing IP and also just, like, cinematic universes. I actually was kind of looking forward to this because I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, taking these classic monsters and, you know, putting them in, like, the modern day. But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Scrapped it.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably fair. But this movie was really great, though.
Truly. That's I'm just still shocked on that they were just jumping on the cinematic universe train.
Yeah. I mean, we're all about cinematic universes now. True. They're doing – it's gotten out of hand, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Got a bit out of hand. But if you're ready –
I've never been more ready. I also appreciate that I've said that the last several episodes because I just keep getting more prepared.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
Aw, look at us. Growth. So, immediately the movie is able to establish a lot of tension. I was very impressed, like, from the very first shot when Elizabeth Moss wakes up. Her name is Cecilia in this movie. And, like, pulls back the sheet and her boyfriend's arm is just, like, around her. And it's just, like, she's so clearly afraid of this man. And I was like, fuck. Like, okay.
Also,
I'm terrified. I was immediately like, okay, I'm scared.
Shout out to the music and sound design. It didn't do, like, heavy lifting, but it did a lot. The acting was great, too. But I just want to be like, damn, there were some, like, really beautiful moments with sound design and music. So, Spooky Squad, if you haven't watched it. Watch it. One, because it's just a good, fun movie, but two, sick music. Really, like, Takashi Yoshimatsu-esque. That's really just for me and four other people listening to this podcast.
Okay, I looked it up. The guy who did the music, the score, was Benjamin Wallfish, who also did the music in the It movie.
Ooh.
The It movies. Yeah. and Hidden Figures.
Huh.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Same guy. Very different movies. Interesting. Yeah. So it's made very clear at the very top that she is in this abusive relationship with Elon Musk, essentially. And this is just Elon Musk the movie.
Yeah. I also, like, you know, so it's setting up all this tension, right? Like, we get that she had to drug him to, like, fucking get out. And it's, like, a prison because she has to, like, shut off all these, like, fucking cameras and all this shit. She has to scale a wall. She released the dog from its electronic, like, fence collar. So I was like, oh, she's such a good person. Save that dog. White woman vibes. She's like, I have to save this dog. My life's in danger, but I got to save this dog. But then she's...
Almost fucked up her situation because the dog, like, set off the car alarm.
Yeah. She fucking scales this fucking wall perimeter.
While wearing Nike. I feel like that was very, very clear product places. Like, zooming on the Nike sneaker. I'm like, oh, you are Nike. You can also escape from your abusive boyfriend. I'm like, oh, God, Nike.
Yeah. She gets to the street where she's like, we're waiting for Emily, which we find out is her younger sister. But... you know, and it's like she gets in the car. It's just like, all right, go. And Emily's just like, well, what's going on? Just fucking drive. I'm like, fucking.
I was like, bitch, go.
She's hysterical. And then, yeah, fucking Adrian was not far behind her, apparently.
He came. I don't know. Like, listen, like, I've had to take diazepam before for anxiety. I'll tell you, when you wake up from that shit, you are not that alert to be like, and I'm going to sprint.
Yeah. Sprint and punch out someone's window.
Right.
And then, like, she's still like, what? While the punching out is happening, Emily's still like, should we go? I'm like, oh, little sister, I want to beat the shit out of you.
I was so mad. I'm like, I didn't realize that at that point that was her sister. That was
we did not, like, know. Emily, yeah.
Bitch, like, I'm sorry. If any of my girlies are like, meet me on this abandoned road in the middle of the night, I'll tell you later. No questions asked. Get your ass in the car. We're bumping. We're going. I'm playing Charlie XCX, like the Barbie song. Like, and we're driving. I don't even know anything. Like, we're going.
Yeah, based on context, I feel like we should leave immediately.
Yeah, especially the way he ran out that woods. He looked like Grandpa in Get Out.
Yeah.
He's sprinting shit. Yeah. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Gotta go, bitch. But noticeably, she drops the bottle of diazepam. So that's going to be very important later. Okay. I also didn't get this immediately that this was her friend. I thought this was her brother-in-law. I thought this was Emily's husband and her light-skinned daughter. And I was like, oh, I guess she's just not living there right now because, like, but I was like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, but won't she know? I was very confused. And I was like, oh, it's her friend. These people are not related. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was like the auntie. Like, okay, cool aunt. Mostly because there's noticeably no, like, romantic undertone between her and James, which I liked.
Yeah, that, so I was like, no, oh, that was great. Like
a family,
they truly are just friends. They're not gonna fall in love. And, like, even, you know, I don't know. I got this from Wikipedia, but I don't know if it was truly, like, brought up in the movie in context. But it's like they were childhood friends. Like, they've been friends forever. And that vibe is there. It's just like, you gotta, like, I care about you, but also, like, kind of get your shit together. But also, like, I'm coddling you, but also kind of get your shit together.
And I was so he is James, played by Aldous Hodge. Made it really hard. Made it really difficult for me to hate cops. Seeing him in that uniform. I'm like, look at this copaganda. He's putting Aldous Hodge's fine ass in that uniform. Anyway, so she is staying at his house with his teenage daughter, Sydney. And she's paranoid. She hasn't left, refused to leave the house. He's trying to coax her to just go get the mail. So she can, like, she tries to, and a guy is, like, running, like, a hood, and she just, like, freaks out and, like, runs back in the house. Like, she's deeply traumatized and scared for her life. And I get it. Like, if you are running, scary enough for a woman in an abusive situation. But if your boyfriend is, like, this tech billionaire
known for optic
shit, I'd be scared. Like, he's gonna find me. Like, it's terrifying. He's clearly a powerful person. Like, yeah. But she finds out one day her sister comes by, and she's like, you know, Cecilia's like, why'd you come here? Like, he knows where you live. Like, he's gonna follow you. But she comes by and she's like, actually, Adrian killed himself. You're free. Like, he seems like he killed himself after you guys broke up, and like, everything's fine. And she starts to feel better. She's able to get the mail, but she gets a letter at the address she's currently staying at, about her estate, and I'm just about his estate. And I'm just like, I don't know, girl, how does he know where you're
staying? Yeah. And that's, she says that she's like, no one knows I'm here.
Feels like a trap. I'm yeah. Like, no. But also like, I mean, he died. It's in the news.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's not, so it's not it. Hearsay. Well, right. It's not like through the grapevine.
It's not,
there's a
it's not word on the street.
Truly.
It's like, it's in like AP news. Like, she's like, oh, like, they never get anything wrong. So she so she her sister is also a lawyer. So she goes to like this estate meeting with Tom, who is Adrian's brother.
Sibling lawyer off, yeah.
Yeah, it was hot. I was like, wow, you guys should make out. I wish this wasn't for what it was for, but I was like, ooh, this like tension is like, mm. Anyway, we find out that Adrian has left her $5 million and also is definitely dead. I mean, there's urn in the brother's office. So it's like, okay, at the very least, I'm like, so the brother thinks he's dead too?
Right, right.
I think. So she has this money, and we have this really wonderful scene where she gives James's daughter, Sydney, money to go to design school, because that was like her big dream, but they couldn't afford it.
That's so nice.
And she like, it was a really lovely scene. I'm just like, oh, like, you know, she's happy, she's going to Parsons, having a great time. Also, the chemistry between Storm Reid and Aldous Hodges, like father and daughter, was so good.
Yeah,
really well cast. I loved it. I kind of was like, I want them to have their own little like show.
Their spinoff, like, yeah.
Yeah,
the in-between nice movement. They also like shared a bed.
That's why I thought that was her niece.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, she's in her bed. I'm like, kind of weird. That's like, oh, just like the family friend. I'm like,
Yeah, especially because like she's, girl, you know, like late high school age. And I was like, and nothing nefarious. I was just like, as an adult, I was like, this, I know what teenagers, they're weird and gross. I was like, I don't want to be next one.
Right. I'm like, yeah, I'd be on the couch, but, so, you know, it seems like things are going well, but one day she has this moment where it's like she feels like someone's in the house. It's a really great scene. She goes outside and you can see her breath, and then you see like a puff of like breath like near her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, I was this whole thing is honestly, this movie is just being a woman. It's just like, oh my god, like a crazy worst fear for me is just like a crazy man taking an interest in me, and now I have to like, I'm being stalked by this person, because this the whole thing was like just scary as fuck for me. I'm sure for you too, because you're just a human being, but just like,
Yeah, it's a like, universal experience being afraid of people stalking you. I think, yes, significantly more so for women, but it is a universal thing. It's a terrifying right. feeling.
And he's like fucking Tony Stark, but like yeah, not fun and whimsical.
Yeah, I'm not getting, you know, you're not getting stalked by like the fucking theater kid that you rejected in like fucking your college production of Les Mis. You're getting stalked by Elon Tony Stark.
Right. It's just like dark Tony Stark.
Dark like, Tony Stark. Tony Dark. Tony dark. Todd.
Donnie Darko. Tony Darko. We could do this for
too long, an uncomfortable long. Amount of time.
Yeah. So anyway,
this movie's really good at, like you were saying, the little puffs, like little things of, because that's the tension, so much tension. It's like those shots in The Strangers, you know, when they're like lurking in the shadows and then you're like, oh shit, someone's there. It's, that's what this movie is. The oh yeah, shit, someone's there.
Right. I think it really, like, the psychological element is so great, because you are also just, like, feeling paranoid and just, like, what's that? Is that something? And it's, like, it's nothing, but it's, like, you're in the same headspace she is with, like, there's somebody here, but, like, you can't – I can't prove it, but I just know something's up. So she tells James this, that she's, like, being freaked out, but he's, like, don't worry about it. Like, you have this, like, job interview, like, things – like, this guy is dead. Like, you've got everything ready. And she goes to a job interview. She's apparently an architect. And when she gets there, she goes to open her work portfolio and everything is gone.
Right.
And then she faints.
Yeah. And she fainted. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, like emotional brownie points. She's getting that job.
Right.
It's like she cares so much about this gig. She fainted from her passion for capitalism.
She's just so passionate about architecture.
Also, like, just before this was, like, when... Because it was just her toiling in this, like, paranoia. But then she was, like, trying to pull sheets off the ground, and they wouldn't move, and you could see the footprint. And then she started freaking out, and that's when now, like, the family is all, like, what are you talking about? And she's like, someone's here.
Right. We also had found out about the extent of the abuse she endured. She talks to Emily and James. She explains that, like, basically this guy, Adrian, controlled everything she did, what she wore, what she ate, when she left, what she thought, and wanted her to get pregnant, too.
Yeah. So then she secretly took birth control.
Yeah, and was taking birth control to make sure she'd not get pregnant. It's implied that she was experiencing both physical and sexual abuse from him. It was just horrifying. So it's understandable also why she is so scared of this person, because he is that dangerous. But she finds out from her doctor. And also there's a kind of fun scene where she's at the hospital and you see someone who's like wrapped up in bandages. It's a nice callback to, like,
yeah,
the 1933 Invisible Man kind of thing. But she gets a call from the doctor saying there were very high levels of diazepam found in her system, and that mm-hmm. explains why she's fainted. So now she's like, I'm being drugged too. And she finds that bottle, the bloody diazepam bottle that she used to drug Adrian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Also, you hear the doctor saying, I also want to tell you about something else. And she just, like, drops the phone. And I'm like, okay, so she's pregnant. Like, I'm like,
immediately.
Like, immediately. But this drives her to set up a meeting with James and Tom, the brother, to be like, hey, yo, your brother's fucking following me and you know some shit. She thinks that he faked his death. He was an optics expert. She's like, he made himself invisible. I can't tell you how, but he did it. And now he's fucking stalking me.
This whole movie, yeah, too. Because obviously we know as the watcher the conceit, and like we can like see where it's going and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like in that moment, you're like, I feel for everyone. It's not like you're obviously being gaslit the entire way. But it's like if someone came to me, a rational adult that I've known for almost my entire life, and they're like, yeah, this person who was public, his like fucking death was in the New York Times. It's like he's still alive and he's tormenting me. He's actually probably living in your house with me right now. I'd be like, I love you, but I do not believe you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it is crazy. Like, that is a crazy. Like, even when she talks to Tom, I mean, we find out later on what Tom's up to too, but he is like, well, Adrian used to abuse me too. I understand why you're so scared of him. But he also shows her pictures of the crime scene after he had slit his wrist. So it's like, he's dead. Like, for all intents and purposes, like, he is dead. And, I mean, you clearly are. I mean, she's clearly traumatized, though. Even if, let's say, she didn't, like, he actually was dead and this wasn't really happening. And, like, this is a woman who clearly is suffering from, like, complex PTSD. Like, she's going through it. But at one point, she tries to go to her sister to tell her that, like, what's going on. Her sister refuses to see her because mm-hmm. apparently she got an email from her that told her that she hated her, that she was suffocating, and she was just, she had actually died instead of, I guess, their parents. I assume their parents are dead. Like, I didn't really know who. I feel like there was some, like, deleted scenes that.
There was one point, truly just one fleeting thought I had, like, halfway through the movie. I'm like, I wonder why she doesn't go to her parents. And then I just continued being back in the movie.
Right. I'm like, I guess her parents must be dead. I was like, was there a triplet? Like, I don't know. who died? Like,
yeah, it was just like, some Hita, random Hita, person. You know? It was just like, yeah, like, you should have died instead of Napoleon. You're like, what? That makes no sense.
Right. I was like, what are you talking about? But yeah, so her sister is just like, fuck you. I don't want to speak to you again. Like, so now she's being isolated from the sister. She goes home and she's like to their house and she's crying. And Sydney comes in and she's like, we should have a girls' night.
I know.
It'll be great. We'll have cake. And I'm like, oh, I always love Storm Reid so much. I'm just like,
up until this point, this girl is handling this crazy woman in her house so well. Like, yeah. Obviously, like, you know, she's gone through it. But, I, you know, as well-intentioned as anything is, like, if I was, like, 17 and my mom's like, hey, this is, like, my best friend from childhood, which I would have probably known well. And it's just like, but they're coming to live with us for an indeterminate amount of time. And also, they're not doing well. I'd be like, can they get a guest room at least?
Right. Especially if they're, like, in my bed. I'm like, can they not?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, when she's having a breakdown, it's on my floor. It's like,
right, like I have to do my homework.
I didn't get cast in Little Shop of Horrors. I need to cry on the floor. We both have problems.
We're both going through things, Cecilia. But yeah, she's handling it. She's like a little adult. And she's like, they're like, okay, let's have a girls' night. And so like the girl kind of looks down. And then she gets punched in the fucking face by Adrian, punched. By Invisible Adrian.
Yeah.
Which, understandably, she's like, you hit me. Like, and it's also, what else is in the room?
And then obviously, outside of it, I was like, man, I'd be even more terrified because I was like, she was far enough away that she should not have been able to reach me. So I would have thought she was also a monster at that point.
Right. But she has, like, supernatural abilities. James home, so he like, you know, he's like, stay away from us, like I have to go get her safe, like, and take her away because she's like a bloody nose, and his daughter's like terrified, and he leaves the house. And while she's there, Cecilia's now is like, I'm gonna find this fucker, like he's in this fucking house. So
and had the brilliant idea, I was like, I'm gonna call his phone.
Right.
I was like, this will do something. And of course then we get some buzzing in the attic.
Yes. He is in the attic, and she takes the brand new ladder she just bought with her cool money, and she...
What do you do when you get $5 million? I bought a ladder.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of her bit, but for a minute there, I was like, wait, did she just buy the ladder? I'm like, bitch, you got $5 million? $5 million big ones. You better fucking get me a gold ladder. Shit. So she climbs up to the attic and finds his phone, and there's a text there. She gets a text and says, surprise. And, you know, he's fucking there, right? So she goes, she's about to try to escape to go get out of the attic. And she dumps paint through the trap door and it coats him.
Like, sick, you know, like, moment. There. Because it also wasn't cool. Like he was at like the foot of the stairs. He was right in her face.
Yeah. So they start fighting, right? They're scrapping.
Also, that phone had like... He had taken pictures while they were sleeping. This is like, yes. Those people don't have a ring light, like with a like self-audition set up. Like, that's some good evidence for you.
Take right. That I'm like, phone. Who took these? Someone took the pictures.
That was one of the first, I think one of, like, I couldn't hold that in. I was like, grab the phone. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, it's telling you that somebody is stalking. We don't know that it's Adrian, but like somebody is stalking her.
Yeah.
Like, and is taking photos. And I feel like James, especially, is like taking photos of your daughter too. I think he would have definitely like, you know, jumped into action or whatever. So she like, they end up fighting. It's a pretty great fight scene.
Do you also like
fighting an invisible figure?
And like, how strong is Adrian? Because like at one point,
I was like, does the suit make him strong? I'm like, I was like, is it actually a Tony Stark situation? Exactly. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, fucking plastic man over here, like, or loose fabric man. Like, because even if he was two hand lifting her up, because it wasn't like her shirt was all like scrunched up, like he was pulling her from her shirt, like he was grabbing her physical body and holding her up, and I'm like, even with two hands, I was like, I don't know, how strong are you? I think I'm not weak, but I couldn't lift anyone unless they were a child.
Right. I was very like, I at that moment, I was like, oh, does it give him also like strong powers? Like, I don't get, like, are we dealing with like, this would actually be a very interesting movie though. I mean, it kind of did it, but it's like, what if like you're trying to escape like your crazy superhero boyfriend?
Yeah, that would essentially. Well, I mean, that is Tony Stark, right? Like, he's not strong. He just is a genius and has money, which is exactly.
Yeah, but he's not an abuser, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, but if, like, if Pepper Potts was trying to leave Tony Stark and he was a monster.
God, that's so fucking scary.
But yeah, there was one point, like, fucking Cecilia goes flying across the room. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, how strong are you? Because it wasn't like a, you know, like you were pushed over. She flew over a table.
Yeah, he threw her across the room. It was crazy. I don't know what kind
Chucky
of
Chucky physics of strength.
Yeah, yeah, we can't think about it too much. It's just like, okay, I guess just like the brute strength of a fucking piece of shit. That's all it is. That's all you can know.
To be fair, this is the same guy that woke up from a drug-induced comatose and dead sprinted and punched a window out. So I guess.
Right, like he's just crazy. He's just fucking evil. Like that's just what matters. So she runs out and we see that there's like a security camera that sees her running away and she called an Uber. And she's like, hey, take me to this house and stay here while I'm in it.
Yeah. So and you know what he did? He listened. She was like, you need to go. And he's like, all right, let's go right now.
He asked questions as he was 3-point turning. He's like, are you okay, ma'am?
Yeah.
Reverse.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What Emily should have fucking done.
Yeah, walk and chew gum at the same time.
Exactly. So she goes to his house. The dog is still there. I'm like, who's taking care of the dog?
I know. And clearly, like, people had, you know, it's like after, like, you know, the owner's not there at the house and everything's just covered up in, like, blankets and wrap. And no one was like, all right, bye, dog. This is your house now.
Tech billionaire dog. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, someone checking in on the dog. It's not important, but I did. I was like, what the fuck is the dog doing here?
Very self-sufficient dog. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's investigating around the house and she goes down to his lab and she finds another invisible bodysuit. And she's like, see, like, he has an invisible bodysuit. That's what he does. So she hides the suit in their bedroom closet and she gets attacked again. And I'm like, and that's when I'm like, okay, how? Because I'm like, is he driving? Like, how? I was wondering, how much is he invisible? Like, is he like living his life as an invisible guy? Because he's like, he's famous and has to be dead. So is he driving around? But he has to be driving because a cop's going to pull over a self-driving car. You know, yeah. I'm very much like, what's going there on? Was, I mean, we find out later what the real situation is, but it's like.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a moment when I was just like, he has to poop at some point.
I'm like, did he run here? Like, yeah. How did he get here?
Like, you know, is he just like, he's at fucking, like, their house, and they're just like, yo, Cecilia, why were you in the bathroom so long? It's like, oh, that wasn't me. Sydney? What were you? It's like, I was at school all day. It's like, wow. Someone was really having a time in there.
Like a massive grown man sitting there. Like, that is not Sydney. Like, he's just been eating beans in the attic for like
truly
fucking weeks. They start fighting, and she's able to escape. And she decides to meet with her sister, who actually shows up at a very crowded, very like trendy restaurant.
Yeah.
Emily is terrifying because she's like, the guy's like, oh, like you guys like know how it works here? And she's like, we order food and we eat it.
Yeah, she was not having it.
No. He was like, hey, like we have – he's like, it's family style. I'm like, he said, like, do you know how it works here? Like, it was like something like really like unique and it was family style. And like
– yeah.
Okay. Like, we've all gone to an Italian – we all been to Olive Garden.
This is a very pretentious restaurant that's not – it's not as good as it thinks it is.
Yeah. But she starts off having like a very like heartfelt conversation of like, I need your strength right now. Like, I need you to believe everything I tell you. And she starts to tell him her, but Emily is distracted because she sees a floating
I was just like, this was great. But also, this harkens back to her just being like, all right, Emily, go. Are you sure? Why? I was just like, the second I saw a knife lift off, like I'm running away. Up. Yeah, I'm like. I'm not staring at this like, oh, is this a new dining experience? This is what the waiter meant when he said it's we do things a little differently here.
No, but seriously though, like you're exactly. And she gets her throat slit and then he puts the knife
immediately.
In
and I'm like, wow, it was very visually. I was like, wow, this was a very good scene.
I was sitting there with mouth open. I was like, this is a dream, right? Like, yeah. Up until this point, like, no one's died. So I'm just like, oh, no, like, this didn't happen. Like, no, it happened. Emily's dead.
Yeah.
And now they're arresting her. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, what the fuck? So She's now been locked up in this psychiatric hospital where she's like drugged, and he's there.
Obviously.
Because he's like surprised, like while she's like falling. Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, this motherfucker.
You know, so she's, you know, getting the whole rigmarole shebang a bang of being admitted into a psych hospital. And then the one of the workers is like, so you know you're pregnant, right? And she's like, what? And then, like, I mean, because, you know, obviously we're like, that's going to happen. We kind of clocked that. But then I was just like, obviously, Adrian, super manipulative dude. But I'm like, if you cared about this baby, I was like, your mother-to-be is so stressed. You're going, right. You're going to induce a stillbirth.
Right. And it's so, like, it's so incredibly dark at this point. Like, I mean, it's always been dark, but then it's like, it was recent. So, and she's been drugged. So it's very clear, like, he has sexually assaulted her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she said it was within the month. And then.
Yeah, because it's been. Because at first I was like, oh, did she get pregnant before all this happened? It's like, no, it was recent. So, like, oh, God. Jesus. It's just like, I can't.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, And then, like, the daughter is, like, there. I'm just like, oh God. It's just like, I was so, like, that scene, I actually got, like, nauseous. Like, I was watching it, and felt nauseous. I was like, oh, no. Like, oh, no. He got that. Like, we gotta kill him. Like, this is too much. So, even just talking about it, I get chills. I'm just like, oh, like, this is so fucked up. So she's pregnant now, and Tom shows up, to be like, hey, we gotta take the money back, because one of the stipulations was that she could not commit a crime. But, and at this point, I still believe Tom.
Think,
like,
right?
Oh, Tom is, like, is a victim of his brother, like, oh, like, I, you know, he, it hurts him. It's hurting me as much as it's hurting you.
She even comes at him, you know, because she's like, I used to feel bad for you because you're the brother of a narcissist sociopath. And it's like, but you're just a jellyfish version of him. It's like, with no spine. I was like, wow. I hope to one day just be, I don't want to one day be in this situation. But if ever I was, like, in a very compromising situation, I still hope that I can just deliver, like, fucking zingers and be like, yeah, you're still a piece of shit.
Yeah. But that's when the turn happens, and it's clear that Tom is actually in on it too. He tells her that they could get the charges dropped if she – which I'm like, I guess he's just a billionaire, because I was like
– Right. Exactly.
Someone killed someone in front of a bunch of people though. Like, so, like, someone is responsible for Emily's death. But he's like the – I just like rich people logic. Like, I'm like, well, I can't think about too much because I'm poor. So
I do like – I thought this was fucking – stunning. It was a very stunning scene because, like, he was, like, leaning in and whispering, but he was, like, because he was just so casual. Like, it's not like his delivery got all of a sudden more sinister, you know? It's not like his eyes got all gleary. He just leaned in like he was a lawyer talking about a delicate situation. He's like, yeah, like, we knew this the whole time, so you can do this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, this fucker is cold. This jellyfish got a little bit of spine.
I know, this jellyfish is, at least stings pretty bad.
Yeah, fucking like, Portuguese man of war. I know one jellyfish. Yeah,
it's interesting she compared him to a jellyfish, though, because I'm like, those are kind of dangerous, actually. Like,
yeah.
That's like, it's like a box jellyfish, and like, it hurts you pretty bad. So he says that they can get the charges dropped if she agrees to basically go back to Adrian and have the baby. It's clear that he helped stage the suicide. And he agrees, he reveals that Adrian had tampered with the birth control to get her pregnant. And I think that this movie is so good because it, like, I mean, obviously it's a very heightened version of, like, what abuse looks like, right? Because, like, this guy has, like, all these resources and, like, it's, like, you know, it's, like, science fiction. But I think it really is just that fear that I think a lot of women have of, like, aside from just, like, finding yourself in a situation with an incredibly dangerous man, but then also, like, you know, losing that bodily autonomy and then just, like, what a pregnancy means in this scenario, because now it's, like, you truly are attached to this person forever. And that's just, like, what it is. And that's, like, made it so much fucking scarier. But she's like, nah, fuck that. But she also manages to, like, steal a fountain pen from him very quietly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that night she goes into her shower and she, like, announces, like, you can have me or my baby, and she's going to kill herself. And he comes out. Of course, he reveals himself to stop her from killing herself. But it's
brilliant. She
did that to lure him out. And I'm just like, damn, girl.
One, because she also wasn't like faking it. Like, she was going for it.
Because she had to
like fucking get him out. And I'm like, God damn, She's so soft. I meant to say strong and tough. She's so struff. But she is, truly.
She is struff.
She's so cunning. And then she starts just shiving him like in the side with his fucking pen. But now, like, the thing's fucking malfunctioning off and on. So now when fucking... So now it's like the slew of, like, guards one by one. Sometimes
all these red shirts.
Sometimes two by two. Sometimes. Like, what is this? Like... They're just like, oh, wow, something keeps – all of our guards keep not coming back. Let's just keep sending them one at a time. But because that happens, they all do see this weird thing, like, glitching out. And they're like, oh, shit, she's not crazy. But then he, like, fucking knocks them out or kills them.
Right. But I'm happy that he didn't kill all of them. It's like, okay, good. There's – at least people are witnessing. Exactly. Like, and there's, like, security cameras in this hospital. So, like, surely it's also picking up that, like, no, there's something there. Like, this is not
exactly
just, like, bullshit. So they're, like, fighting and stuff, and Cecilia manages to escape out.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her, like, when he catches up with her outside, and it's, like, storming. And that's a really good effect because you can see, like, the rain kind of, like, on him, like, hitting him. And he tells her, like, I'm not going to kill you because I want to have this baby, but I'm going to make sure I kill everybody around you who loves you. So, like, that, like, you know, I'm going to destroy your life, essentially. And it's very clear that he's going to go after Sydney next. So now she's, like, racing to get back to James's house. She, like, steals a car from this guy who, like, you know.
Yeah, this is a very funny theft. Yeah, and she's like, oh, are you gonna? It's like, yeah, he's fine, I promise. And just hangs up on her. I'm like, well, that was nice of you. I mean, yeah, but probably in the moment, that does not make her think she's, like, he's fine.
Right. So he's driving to James's house, and he calls James to be like, he's like, you can't call me. She's like, listen, I did, though.
Yeah.
Go to your fucking house, okay? Like, Sydney's
and he does. Danger. He listens. Good.
Yeah. At the very least, he probably thinks that she's all the way to hurt Sydney.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right. She's like, she's crazy. He's like, this white lady's crazy. Like, this is what I have to ask. My mama told me stop messing around with white girls. And now look at me. Like,
yeah, truly.
So she, we get to the house, and he's attacked. He starts to attack her to choke Sydney, like, beat her up. James gets there and he's trying to, like, you know, save his daughter, but now he's beating him up and, like,
do you also,
really knocking the spit out of him.
It truly is. And again, I'm like, I feel like James can take a hit. I mean, like, I know he can't see you, but he is also, I did appreciate this fight scene. It's not that, like, Cecilia didn't do this, but I feel this was more, I don't know. It seemed like he was like, all right, this thing is on top of me. And at this point, he has the knowledge of, like, okay, maybe an invisible man is real. So he is trying to be like, all right, I'm going to fight like that. Like, you know, because he's getting dragged. He's like, well, I'm going to kick what's dragging me. So he is
right.
He's like, I am fighting a man. I cannot see him, but I am fighting a man.
Also important to note that Adrian is still managing to do this after getting sprayed in the face with pepper spray by Sydney.
Oh, yeah. He is. He's on diazepam. He can do anything.
He could do anything.
You know,
power, like, of Valium, apparently.
You know, like, when you take, like, if you have ADD and you take Ritalin, it evens you out. But if you don't, it, like, obviously, like, opposite effect. That's Valium for him. He's like, I'm a god.
He's like the Hulk. Like, yeah, all of a sudden, like, it's like, okay.
I don't have any energy. You need some Valium. Do you also like to, like, wait, one of the first fucky scenes we get, like, the little... Like I'm a mischievous ghost kind of thing that Adrian would do was, like, cranking up the heat on this pan of bacon and eggs that then sparks on fire immediately.
I forgot about that scene. That was good.
And we get Chekhov's fire extinguisher because Cecilia shows up and it was like Sydney, like, duck, and she just starts spraying, and then we're like, oh yeah, smart.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
For a woman that is, like, everyone is very smart catching on to this. And it's like, we really only got two instances of, like, I'm going to cover you in shit so I can see you.
Yeah, I was surprised that, especially because she did that already with the paint.
Yeah.
I feel like you should do that again.
Yeah, be like, hey, James, tell Sydney to watch out. Also, maybe like start like a humidifier going or like a smoke machine just for no reason.
Oh, right. You know, Sydney's an artsy kid. She probably has one. Like,
throw glitter around.
She like raves out. Yeah, throw some glitter. throw like some fabric. It's going to land on him. Like, you know. So she sprays him and then she's able to shoot him dead.
Yeah.
And when they take off the suit, though, it's Tom.
Damn. And wow, we avoided having an Uncle Tom.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. We did. But yes, it was Tom. And then we get, you know, cut to like not even a day, like just hours after they're like in the fucking precinct. And, you know, James is like, we have this. This is this. It was Tom, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is going to help, like, we can't prove to a jury that this suit makes you invisible because you shot it to shit, but we have evidence and the guards. Shout out to leaving witnesses. But she was like, it's fucking Adrian. Like, he faked his death. He can definitely pin this shit on his brother.
Right. Like, y'all all believe he was dead. But they're like, yeah, no, if you want to get, like, you know.
And they're like, oh, like.
To work out, you have to just, like, go with this.
And they found him, like, tied up in his basement. It's like, yeah, we found Adrian, like, his brother must have done that. And it's like, he faked it. I don't know. It's like, you now saw an invisible man. Can you at least start thinking my theories are very credible?
Right. I'm just like, come on. Like, they just refuse to listen to her. Classic police shit. But they decide, okay, the plan is that they're going to try to get a confession out of Adrian. So Celia is now exonerated. So she agrees to, like, meet up at his house wearing a wire. She shows up and she's all dolled up. And he's like, he's being all, like, bumbly and, like, Hugh Grant. Like, oh, I got all these dinners. Like, I didn't know what to
eat. Yeah.
Why? Like, I like sushi and also steak and pasta. Like, just being a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
But she agrees, like, okay, like, we can get back together, basically. But, like, you have to confess that you killed Emily. But, no, he's like, no. He's like, I'm going to – no, it was Tom, definitely. Like, but all this experience makes me realize, like, how badly I treated you. And, like, I want to treat you better. But then he, like, says surprise to her. And it's like, yeah, no. He's – clearly, like, he's still fucking playing games. So she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm pregnant, you see. So she leaves. And on the security camera, we see what seems to be that Adrian has slit his own throat.
Oh, what are the odds? Yeah.
What are the odds?
And then, you know, like, obviously, James Coppin's like, oh, God, are you fine? She's like, yes, everything's fine. He killed himself. It's on camera. And then he just sees the suit, and like the cameras are still like whirring. It's like a, you know, like a suit of eyeballs, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a biblically accurate angel.
Yeah, that's actually the name of the suit. Yeah, and she's just like, yeah, it's on camera. And it's like you heard it. What did it sound like? And he's like, it sounds like he killed himself. I'm like, good man. And then she got to leave with the dog.
She did. And she also got to taunt him before he died. That, like, a surprise. It's like, yeah, bitch.
That is my, like, when people, I get, like, you know, trying to be, like, realistic in some things. Like, you know, when, like, the man's coming at you in the suit and you're like, yeah, just unload a clip immediately and take him out. But when it's, like, a retribution kill in these movies, I'm always like, oh, man, I really wish they knew that you got the one up on him.
Right. I'm so glad that he got to, like, at the very least, as he's dying, got, like, saw that and heard
yeah.
that. It's like, good. Fuck you. Go to hell.
Truly.
And the movie ends.
And that's The Invisible Man. And you know what?
Good.
I want to preemptively say, if I will, how would this be different if it was a black movie? I don't know. Gaslighting, that's pretty ubiquitous.
I think that's just, like, the experience of being a black person is, like, just being gaslit your whole life. But yeah. By, like, the government and society, which is, like, the worst kind of gaslighting.
Yeah. So then through the lens of, like you said, like, a very universal experience, even more so for women, femme-identifying people in general. And then, you know, if you just add all the layers, you're like, yeah, this is a – anyone can be terrified by this movie.
Right. I also do like that, you know, we had very prominent Black characters in this.
Yeah.
Someone did point out, one of our listeners, of wanting us to see more movies that have Black people in it. And I promise you, we're not avoiding it. We know we exist, but also, unfortunately, the horror genre is not always great with representation. So I know, at least from my point of view, when I'm trying to think of movies, I do try to, like, sprinkle in the ones that are more Black-centric throughout, just so we don't run out of them, yeah. Which is, like, so fucking annoying, but that's just, like, the reality of the genre. So please know that, like, we are, you know, we love to watch movies with Black people in it, but we gotta, you know, be kind of judicious with how often we watch them, because we could very easily watch most of them, or at least the most of the ones that people know, very quickly.
Yeah.
But I loved that we had prominently featured Black characters who I think were very well written, and also, like, you know, were not, you know, even though they took more supporting roles, they didn't feel like second fiddle or, like, underdeveloped. Like, they were good and, like, complex, and also, you know, not magical or,
yeah,
you know,
if anything, I would even say unmagical, anything. Just a bunch of cops.
Yeah.
One cop.
A cop. Also, I love a real realistic, like, economic portrayal of a cop's salary, and that they just live in this, like, little, like, ranch style house.
Yeah.
Every time you get shows where someone's, like, a cop, they have, like, a crazy house, and I'm like, cops don't make a lot of money.
They are, actually. You know, they are civil servants.
Yeah.
They're, like, they're not doing well.
They get, like, good pension, but, like, they don't really get paid that much.
Yeah.
Considering the risk of the job, they don't get paid that much. I do think, though, it was a Black movie. I think I wouldn't want it to be a Black movie for the sake of, I don't want to see a Black woman being abused. I also don't want to see a white woman being abused, but it's just like, I don't know how I feel about, like, a Black woman being abused by a Black man, and then it's like all of this, like, over the top, like, shit. It just feels like a little bit, like, I don't know how, like, racially coded that would feel in my mind, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope that's very clear about saying, like, I want to see a white woman being abused. Like, absolutely.
No, everyone just, like, heard what Samik Smythe said. We all know it. We all heard it.
It just takes on a very different tone, I think, that I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. In Hollywood, they make, like, the boyfriend dark skin and then, like, the woman light skin. Like, it'd be very weird. Like, I'm like, no. Let them be white in this situation. Oh, man. But that was The Invisible Man. Next week, we'll be rounding out March Madness with Jacob's Ladder, which I've never seen, but I'm very excited to finally watch.
Similar. Yes. I also have not seen that.
Yeah. Also directed by Adrian Lin, who did Fatal Attraction, which we watched.
Nice. All right. Things are looking good.
Yeah, excited. Also before we go, sorry, I wanted to give a shout out. We had a listener named Professor JAJL who hit us up and was like, yes, BetterHelp does actually suck. We talked about BetterHelp and they're like, yeah, they suck. Being a therapist themselves, they actually have sworn off making ODD diagnoses. Because I think we talked about if in The Babadook, if Samuel had been Black, they would have diagnosed him with ODDs. He's like, I don't do that. Is a child acting out? Interesting. Let's have a look at that trauma history instead of going with an ODD diagnosis. So thank you.
All right. Fuck BetterHelp. Nobody go to it.
Yeah, fuck BetterHelp. And Professor JAJL is an ethical therapist. Also, we did get someone named Sarah who reached out to us. We'd asked our listeners for any suggestions for some alien-oriented horror movies. They suggested The Thing, Nope, The Blob, 10 Cloverfield Lane, and Night of the Creeps.
I think you're going
to be great.
I think you're going to be really stoked then.
I think you're going to be pretty happy, Sarah, because we may or may not have a couple of those movies on our list.
We may not even have. We may even have a surprise with a movie that might be on our list, or maybe not. We don't know.
But we don't know. So you have to stay tuned. But before we go, Andrew, do you have any last words?
Don't date tech billionaires. Date average income artists.
Love that. Yes. Date an artist.
We need your love too.
Yes, because they're poor and they can't pull this kind of shit off.
Exactly. And really need that dual income to afford rent.
Yes. Oh, man. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and stay spooky, y'all.
Stay spooky.
Bye-bye.